ministry of the Holy Spirit in a way that I knew about, but I needed to eat a little bit more of it, and that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we'll look at this together. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse number 22, and we invite you to stand if you'd like to and read along with us in your copy of God's Word, or follow along silently if you'd like. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. Ready? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So this passage gives us a choice, and we all have the same choice today. This isn't a choice just for the apostles. It's not a choice just for pastors. It's not a choice just for ministers. If you have been born again, you live in the Spirit. So Paul says, why not walk in the Spirit? You have the Holy Spirit. He's on the inside. Why don't you get a little bit more of the Holy Spirit that'll work its way all the way to the outside? See, regardless of how much I want to go on a long walk for exercise, I ain't doing it until my feet start moving. You ever sit home and think, well, I ought to do something, I ought to do it, it's good to do it, good to see other people doing it. I'm not doing it until I'm out there walking it. And we said this last week as a professor in the college I went to used to say this all the time and wear us out with us. Your talk talks and your walk talks, okay, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Do we not at times talk about living the Christian life and not so much walk it? Do we talk about what we would like God to do but not walk in what he's given us to do? Yes, we're guilty of that. All of us are. Wouldn't it be great if the Lord gave us strength and help to walk more so in it than we ever have in our life? Wouldn't it be great? As we're filled in the Spirit, you have that opportunity, and may God help us to do that today. Let's pray together. Father, the fruit of the Spirit is in each and every one of us. Now, some of us aren't bearing fruit with that, and all of us are not enjoying it and partaking of it as we should. Help us to walk in it. But Lord, some people are ignorant of it, and therefore they cannot walk in something that they do not know or know so little about. So I pray that you will help us, give us understanding. And Holy Spirit of God, we ask you, our teacher, our guide, to illuminate in such a beautiful way this thing called the fruit of the Spirit, that it will look like a precious golden apple, and that we will partake of that and enjoy the sweetness and want more. So I pray that you bless your church as we talk again and preach about this thing called the Holy Spirit of God, that you, Holy Spirit, will empower us and help us with our understanding and, yes, even with our walking. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. After 4 weeks of getting to know the Holy Spirit as a person, that's how we started out, understanding his baptism. Okay, let's try this again. We didn't do so good last week. One faith, one Lord, one... Oh, you guys, you're graduating. You're graduating. Yeah, we're going to give you a certificate. So one faith, one Lord, one baptism. And that kind of dispels, okay, the false teaching out there that's there. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is a person. We know we are baptized in the Spirit as we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that as the Holy Spirit comes in, he intercedes for us. And he speaks God's language because he himself is the very breath of God. So we've learned that. So now we're ready to consider something else, and that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When a lost soul is saved, the moment that they are born again of the Spirit of God, they gain the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So, okay, we understand that the Holy Spirit came in, and he lives there, and he's taken up residence, and he is supposed to work within us, in our inner man, to make us or conform us into the image of Christ, and we need his help. Because our flesh does not like somebody telling it what to do. Your flesh nor my flesh. So the Holy Spirit is there, who isn't flesh, who is the Spirit, communicating to our spirit, interceding on our behalf, and doing a wonderful work, yea, even through that which he brought with him, which is a beautiful basket of fruit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, "But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now, we talked about this in Sunday school, and the holidays aren't so far away, but have you ever eaten something so much that it made you sick? And after you ate it and you got sick, no matter how much you kind of wanted to, you couldn't do it because you just ate so much of it, you can't do it. Well, that will never happen with the Spirit. As you consume the Holy Spirit, day by day, you grow more so in love with it. And as you consume it and take part in it and partake of it, it gets better. And as the Southern preacher said, it gets gooder and gooder. That's what every church needs to experience about God, his goodness. And his Holy Spirit can help you to know that. According to Ephesians 4, verses 13 through 21, the inner man is the human spirit. It is here that God begins making us new creatures, helping us to walk in newness of life, not in the realm of our feelings. And too many Christians put too much stock in their feelings. Listen, all of our feelings are important, but all of us have our feelings betray us at times. Amen. Some days I feel like it and some days I don't. That doesn't mean I shouldn't obey God when I don't feel like it. Boy, if you start a practice of that, you'll rarely serve God, especially in ministry. So we need to do the things that are right, regardless of our feelings. So the Holy Spirit working inside of isn't about our feelings necessary. It's in the area of our subconsciousness, the deep-seated part of ourselves. We understand that the spirit of man is where God is most at work. I know that you want God to fix your outward man. I know that you want God to fix your body. I know that you want God to make your hair thinner. Thicker. I know that you want him to have, ladies, you want shorter, lesser eyelashes, right? Huh? Okay. So as we think about the outward man, maybe we ought to consider more so the inner man. God wants to change the inner man. He wants, and he's given us the Holy Spirit so that we can be changed from the inside out. That's how the Holy Spirit does it. And it's beautiful. We're renewed day by day. So let's agree that there's a part of all of us that's getting old, wearing out, getting weak, deteriorating, becoming more sensitive, and more unstable. But there's also a part of us that will never die. And when we trade this old body in for a new body in heaven, you'll get your thicker hair, you'll get your better body, and you'll have that part, but that's not what got you there. It'll be that which the Lord has given you on the inside. So we better concentrate on the inner man more so than we concentrate on the outer man. And in doing so, we become more spiritual. In doing so, we can understand in God and we can communicate better with God. And when we read our Bible, it speaks more to us because we have somebody inside who's bridging the gap, who is working within us to make us know him better. The inner man, which has already been regenerated, is getting stronger, is getting more sensitive, more stable, more alive, as we're renewed day by day. I have met saints in their 90s who have spirits of young people. And I have met young people who have spirits of a dying man. The inner man is who we need to talk about more today. That part of us is our spirit, the part where God is working his grace to conform us into the image of his Son. For all of you 70 generation kids out there, God wants to make you more so into the $6 million Christian. You remember, right? Come on. I mean, right? We understand. The kids are all back there, and most of us, all right. So God does want you to have a strong bionic spirit. What happened to the moment you were saved is worth reexamining. The moment that the Holy Spirit came and set up residence in you, that's worth talking about. The inward man that the Holy Spirit lives in has available to him 9 beautiful pieces, 9 parts, or the fruit of the Spirit, which is demonstrated in 9 beautiful ways. Inside of you, you have the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit is not for the Holy Spirit's benefit. The fruit is for your benefit. That's right. The fruit is the essence of who he is. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is the representative of all that Christ is. God is love. And apart from God, there is no love. God gives joy. Through salvation, you have it. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." The peace that God gives you after he forgives you of your sin. Have you ever felt anything more wonderful than forgiveness of God? So the Holy Spirit has this beautiful fruit. The fruit is representative of all that Christ is and was as he ministered here on earth. The fruit of the Spirit consists of the qualities of Christ and are the essential character traits of those filled with the Spirit, those that are Christ-like. Now, we need to state that our bodies do not like anything, anybody telling it what to do. Your body does not like it when you tell it to say no to the chocolate cake. Anybody's body rebels against them when you want to eat something, yeah? But your mind says, but no, the doctor said, but no, and you fill in the blank. Your body it doesn't like that. So we have a war going on in our spirit. And our spirit is warring against the flesh, and the flesh is warring against the spirit. And that's why God says, Jesus gave us this, no man can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and forsake the other, or he'll decide, I'm going to start serving this one and he'll forsake God. You can't do it. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. The flesh, our body, rebels against the spirit. Our body fights against the spirit and will always resist the change that the spirit attempts to make. As you feel that conviction, as you know, I shouldn't do that, but yet you do, we pour water on that Holy Spirit. We quench the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit. As we sin against God, we have this battle going on. Well, some good news for you today. With the power of the Holy Spirit, you can win. With the power of the Holy Spirit, you have already been made conquerors in Christ Jesus, your Lord. You already have. You are conquerors. Yeah, but I don't feel like a conqueror. Maybe you've not been spending some time with God. When you spend time with God, you go away feeling real good. You go away feeling forgiven, loved, helped, sustained. But when you spend time with yourself or the flesh or the devil, you have this problem. In verse 17, the Bible says, "The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." So I want to make this statement. You will not control you without the help of the Holy Spirit. You will fail to control your flesh unless the Holy Spirit empowers you to do so. You cannot do the things that you would do in the spirit while walking in the flesh. And it works the other way too. You cannot live in the spirit at the same time you're trying to fulfill the works of the flesh. So God has given this for us, and I want you to have an understanding. So Paul tells us in Galatians 5 that the Holy Spirit is really good at his job of helping us. He's our helper. He's really good at it. But if you haven't hired the guide, as we talked about last week, if you haven't spent time and gotten to know him, if you don't speak any of the language of the spiritual Bible language, if you have no interest and you go away after 10 seconds and you leave him, and then you wonder, how come I'm just so weak? I think you have your answer. So if you want the Spirit-filled life, if you want this kind of Christianity, you can have it today. So let's look at this. The fruit of the Spirit. Number one, to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, we must abhor fleshly works. Now, I don't hear that word used too much in the English language, but it's a very, very important word. It doesn't mean to just detest it. It means to be repulsive by it, to have it turn against us like a bad smell. All right? Have you ever walked into the kitchen and something that you'd thrown in the garbage now had rotted and it just catches you at the right, maybe you're just breathing in or something. Recently that happened at our house this week, actually. Elijah has a lizard named Bragg. How many of you have met Bragg? Anybody met? Oh, quite a few of you. Wow, more so than I thought. You've met this lizard. Isn't he something? All right? Well, the problem with putting a lizard in a box or a cage or an aquarium is that sooner or later, you're going to have to clean the thing. Because if you don't, that which is left behind will be repugnant to you. And sure enough, I walked in the house and must have just taken a breath walking past that animal's cage, and I thought, oh my goodness, this has to change. So we took Mr. Bragg outside and took him out of his cage and cleaned his cage up. The truth of the matter is, it's an abhorrent smell. Do you know that our sin to a holy God is repugnant? Our sin to a holy God is repulsive. Our sin to a holy God is corruption. Do you realize that? You see, we get so used to living in it that we don't know. Not long ago, there was a show on TV about those who hoard stuff. It became very popular. And I'm going to tell you why it became very popular. Because people could relate to it. And I'm the first one to admit, I have way too much stuff. I like a good yard sale. I enjoy walking through the flea market. And oftentimes I'll see something I thought I didn't have just to take it home to find out, oh my goodness, I got one of those already. Anybody else do that? Well, the truth of the matter is, all of us have sin, and all of us have had it for a long time, and none of us need more of it. So somewhere down the line, we have to see it like God sees it. And in order to be filled with the Spirit, in order to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, we must abhor fleshly works. Verse 19 through 21, Paul lists the works of the flesh. This list is not conclusive, he tells us that, but it sums up what we are to do. We're to die to self. We're to abhor or learn to hate that part of ourselves. We are commanded to abhor that which is evil and to cleave unto that which is good in Romans 12 and verse 9. The worst enemy you could ever have is your flesh. And that's the thing most people are in love with. The worst enemy you can have is your flesh. And that's the thing most people are in love with. If you're in love with the flesh, no wonder you're not walking in the Spirit. Because you've chosen what's more important to you. It has your affection. It has your attention. It has your money. It has your time. And we're feeding it and coddling it and allowing it to tell us what to do. When the truth of the matter is, if you want to live for God, you have to come to the conclusion that your flesh is your enemy. You will not, we cannot commune with a holy God while we were following the works of the sinful flesh. On the other hand, the Holy Spirit, who is our friend, can help us to see ourselves in the light of God. The Holy Spirit oftentimes is like a mirror. From the inside out, he shows us what we look like, and that should bring all of us to our knees. Charles Spurgeon said, "All the fire which the devil can bring from hell could do us little harm if we had so much fuel in our nature." He went on to say, "It is the powder in the magazine of the old man which is our perpetual danger." The old man, the flesh, the sinful nature, wants to rise to the top to control the spirit. What happens when your flesh tells you how to worship? What happens when your flesh tells you how or when not to read your Bible? Well, when our flesh is involved in anything and comparing it to spiritually, we do less of what God wants us to do when we are feeding, following, linking up with our flesh. Become abased, my dear friend, understanding that the power of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit works in those who walk in the Spirit. They enjoy the beautiful apples of God's grace. They're the ones who enjoy the beautiful nectar of God's peaches. The fruit of the Spirit will help you to see yourself as God sees you. Paul draws for us a distinct picture or comparison between that which is good and that which is spiritual. That which is sinful and that which is fleshly. The sins of the flesh are these, he says: adultery, sexual immorality, perversion, pornography, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, fighting, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murdering and being murderous, drunkenness, and rioting. These are the rotten, corrupt fruits of our flesh. The sins of the flesh are counterfeited by themselves. We think that our flesh is good. We think we're smart. We think we're intelligent. We think we're all different things. But truth of the matter is, our flesh has lied to us. The Bible says, the apostle says, "In us dwelleth no good thing." Outside of the Holy Spirit of God, no wonder people go to hell. Without God coming in, regenerating their spirit, making them alive, they go to hell because they reject God and their flesh takes them straight down. Yep, that's where you take the garbage. That's where we incinerate the putrid things of this world. And no human soul is that way. That's why God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, because God created you for the praise of his glory. He wants all men everywhere to be saved. Did he not say that? So those who reject the gospel die and go to hell. Why? Because their sins take them straight to where you take the sins, to the very Gehenna, the very place where they're burned forever. That's why we need Christ. That's why salvation is so beautiful. Because it brings life into that which was dead and dying. The sins of the flesh are counterfeited. Adultery, sexual immorality, they counter the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Counterfeits of idolatry and witchcraft are torn down by the beauty of the Holy Spirit's love, joy, and peace. The list of sins, this list that Paul gives us, are divided into three basic categories, and this is not going to become an extended lesson, of course, but they're moral sins: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, immorality, sensuality, and impurity comes from the Greek word porneia. That is the sin of adultery, fornication, uncleanness, the root word for pornography. Illegitimate sexual material and illegitimate sexual contact is immorality in God's sight. It's immoral. God doesn't want you taking part in it. Why? Because it corrupts you. What corrupts you puts you away from that which is incorruptible. God wants a close relationship with you. If you walk with God, you'll put off those sins of the flesh. If you walk with the flesh, you'll have put off that which is the Spirit. So these are the moral sins. Not just known and public, but especially today, hidden and private. I said something to one of the men at the prayer breakfast yesterday that King David committed one of the first sins that was a similar to our internet pornography problem. He went onto the top of the roof and looked out where he shouldn't have been looking. And we have an epidemic in our country of that being that of that going on. Almost nobody knows it but you. You can get a cell phone and you can look at pictures and you can look at things and read things that you should never read, that God's not pleased with you reading, that God's not pleased with you being involved. What does it do? It rots you from the inside out. It destroys your mind and your heart and your soul. And people live in that. And those are the moral sins. Almost nobody knows it but you and God, but the truth of the matter is you walk in those sins and you will not enjoy the beautiful fruit of the Spirit. Number two, the second category are religious sins: idolatry, witchcraft, sorcery. Idolatry is worshiping other gods. Anything we place above God or give to worship to is idolatry. And by the way, I think that word is anything that we do that to. That which has stolen our time, talent, our treasure, and gives God little or none. Some of us, it's sports. Some of us, it's gambling. Yesterday, going to the New Generation Banquet, the lady who spoke, and I'll tell more about this next week, had a beautiful family, but after 20 years of marriage, her husband suddenly died. Before he died, they were on the verge of being what would be considered wealthy. They owned 3 homes. They owned many cars, and they had much wealth until the husband died, and the wife found out that he had a terrible gambling problem, and that those houses really weren't theirs, and that those cars really weren't theirs, and they had to sell everything to pay the debtors, and she herself had to separate from her youngest son and go live with a friend because she didn't even have a house to live in. So sins that take us outside of even what anybody else sees. Some people come to church and say that they worship a holy God and then do not worship a holy God, but they come because other people come. They are committing a religious sin. They have other things more important than God. Paul's word for sorcery is the word pharmakia, our English word for pharmacy. The use of drugs for religious ritual was common in Paul's day, and can I say people are still doing it today? In the 60s, it was LSD, right? And I was confused, being a very young boy, seeing people, and I was this the Jesus movement? Because sometimes they put the Jesus movement in with the hippie movement, and as a kid, I remember being confused about that whole thing. I didn't know it. I didn't know what was really going on with all that. Well, can I tell you, there wasn't a whole lot going on with all of that that really was movement towards people serving Jesus. There was a lot of drugs involved, was it not? Yes, it was. A lot of drugs and mushrooms, and it promoted the hippie religious movement. Satan is using drugs, even prescription drugs today, to control and possess people. It's a big problem in America. Isn't it one of our bigger problems in America? Yes. So we have these religious sins, and then we have social sins. How we relate to others. Less evil, perhaps, some people might say, but more prominent, especially in church. Most Christians will not smoke crack or shoot heroin, but they fall prey to jealousy, hatred, envy. You hear what I said? Most people in church are not going to fall prey to smoking crack, but they'll do a whole lot of gossiping and tearing down somebody. Let us be careful, friends, because the fruit of the Spirit is not that which will lead you into corruption. So those are social sins. Contrary, but compared to the list of fleshly sins, are the list of spiritual fruitfulness. The Holy Spirit's orchard of love. His beautiful trees of joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and faith and meekness and temperance. So here's 3 things we can know about spiritual truth. And I believe this with all my heart. We can know this about spiritual fruit. Number one, it's visible. It's visible. Spiritual fruit can be seen. Listen, God did not save you to put you in a box so that nobody else would know about your salvation. Christianity is not supposed to be a secret service type thing. I understand there are lots of people out there that believe that Christians ought to just be quiet and just be soft spoken and never take a strong stand about things that God has done for us, in us, through us. And yet those that did that, let me say this, those that did that in the 70s brought us the Roe versus Wade. Those that sat still and didn't speak up and didn't do the right thing and didn't use their liberty as a U.S. citizen and vote for any Christian values, no wonder it's been such a fight in our country to keep the Bible in school. It's supposed to be visible. We're supposed to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works. What is the good works? Love, joy, peace. What is the good works? Long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, faith, meekness. What are those good works, Pastor? We're supposed to let Jesus out of the box. We're supposed to let the Holy Spirit shine on the outside. We're not supposed to put a bushel over it. We are commanded of God. And when you do that, you're eating that fruit. You're enjoying it. And you can't help to talk about Jesus' love when you're overcome with the fullness of the love of Christ. It's visible. It can be discerned. If I see works of the flesh, that's discernible. But yet some people say, well, you really can't tell who's spiritual. Really? Really? Where's that come from? Because when I read the Bible, people saw Jesus and he changed their life. You say, but it was the words. It wasn't just the words. When they saw him doing good, the Bible even says if all the good works that Jesus did was recorded, there wouldn't be books enough and libraries enough to hold them all. Isn't that true? Fruits of the Spirit are discernible. They can be seen, and they're recognizable. That which is love is truly love. The people who have joy, that which is not dependent on circumstances like happiness, those people are recognized. You can recognize somebody who has joy even through the deepest pain. You know those kind of people? Those are people walking in the Spirit. That's right. Those are the people that are not looking for sympathy. Those are the people that are hanging on to God, and God is hanging on to them. They are filled with the Spirit of God, and it's recognizable. In Matthew 7:16, spiritual fruit reflects the character of Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches. If we abide in him, we will bear much fruit. That's what we have. It is visible, it is recognizable, and then it is to be shared. That's right. What is on the inside of a piece of fruit? Besides all that goodness, there's a seed there. What is the seed for? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't eat the seeds. The seeds are not for you. The seeds are for somebody else. If God has given you love, you know what you're supposed to do with that? You're supposed to share it. That's right. It's supposed to be reproduced. Joy? Yeah, get out there and give out some joy. And go share some peace with somebody. Love somebody. Be patient with somebody. Show them what God is to you. You are becoming more Christ-like as you take what God gives to you and share. That's what it means, walking in the Spirit. I'm eating some beautiful fruit of the love of God. Oh, Holy Spirit, share that with somebody else? Yes, sir, I sure will. While you're walking along in life and you're whistling a tune, and God has blessed you and forgiven your sins, you run across somebody who thinks they want to die and commit suicide, and you share with them how that your life was dark without Christ, and all of a sudden they say, really, you mean God loves me? Yes, he loves you. He'll forgive me? Yes, he'll forgive me. Before you know it, you're bearing a fruit tree. Before you know it, your witness has been planted into the ground of tender soil in somebody's heart. Before you know it, you've handed out 1,200 bottles of water and 2,000 tracts, and somebody goes away home with joy, rejoicing because their name's written in the book of life. That's walking in the Spirit. Reproducing. Can the church of Jesus Christ, can we survive if we do not reproduce? It is to be shared. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, doing what? Bringing his sheaves. The Holy Spirit is working to make us more tasty, to make us more sweet, to make us more edible. And as we walk in the Spirit, we also live in the Spirit. 9 varieties of fruity flavor. That's why Christians are weird. We're all fruity. We got the Holy Spirit. For those of you who can't smile during a time like that when I'm being lighthearted, your spirit is too heavy. You need to turn it over to Christ. It is to be shared. Now that we have a list, we can know where we are fleshly. Would you have any trouble seeing somebody falling down, stumbling, speech slurred? As you get near them, you can smell the alcohol. Do you have any trouble discerning that they are drunk? So just like you can discern somebody walking in the flesh, can you not discern them walking in the spirit? I'm telling you, there's so many people teach these lies out there trying to even the score and justify them their own selves. If you walk in the flesh, you are recognizable to somebody who's filled with the Spirit. And if you're filled with the Spirit, it is recognizable that somebody's walking in the flesh. And by the way, the person you ought to be most recognizing is yourself. So you don't have to wonder what it looks like to be Spirit-filled. We have 9 things to tell us. If you're eating, listen, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I knew a man one time who went on a juice diet. On this juice diet, he was told that if he ate so many carrots every day, that he would put off some old age stuff, get rid of some rheumatoid arthritis, and he swallowed that carrot like a donkey. That's pretty good. Before you knew it, juicing carrots every single morning, before you knew it, doing the amount of carrot juicing and carrot consuming that he was, his skin turned orange. I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it. I promise you it's true. Wouldn't it be great if more Christians spent more time with a loving God and before you know it, they were more loving? They walked with the God of peace and therefore they were more peaceful. They walked with the God of faith and they were more faithful. They walked with a God who's meek and his meekness is shown all the way through. And then before you know it, that which was a dreadful creature was a beautiful spirit-walking man or woman of God. That's what God has for you. He set a beautiful table and there are 9 pieces of fruit there for us to enjoy. And lastly, number 2, our second big point. And unlike most Baptist preachers, there's not a third one, so hang in there with me. Just 2. To enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, we must walk in Him. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, in order to understand that, how do you walk in somebody, Pastor? How do you walk? I know how to walk in on somebody. How do you walk in somebody? Well, you have to understand the proximity of where they are. Where is the Holy Spirit? Inside where? Okay. Is it possible for you and the Holy Spirit to go on a walk? Yes, it is. Is it possible for you and the Holy Spirit to talk while you go on that walk? Is it possible that wherever you go, because the Holy Spirit is in you, that He becomes of you? That's what He's talking about. If you are born again and you live in the Spirit, or the Spirit lives in you, now walk in it. Enjoy it. Spend time. Go out of your way. Go here. Go there. Don't stay wherever you were before that. Walk in the Spirit. Jesus said, a dead tree brings forth no fruit. Now, we can understand that. If we have been given the Spirit, we must also walk in the Spirit. Huh? So a fruit tree doesn't necessarily bear fruit, especially if it's diseased or if it has no way of getting roots down deeper, or if there's no water, or if there's not enough sunlight, or if the canker comes, or if the insects come. So there are things to do in order to bear fruit. Walking in Him brings that bearing. In verse 26, Paul gives us the key. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. If I wish to walk in the Spirit, if I wish the Holy Spirit to consume me, if I wish the Holy Spirit to take control, I don't want my flesh controlling me. And if you want your flesh controlling you, you will not be filled with the Spirit because you've chosen who you want your master to be. But for those of you here today who want to walk in the Spirit, you can, as long as you take your desire for what you want and put it in the hand of God. When I was growing up, there was a song that became popular. I just thought about it. And you'll know this. Put your hand in the hand of the man who the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you will look at differently. So put your interesting. Yeah, okay, that too. That too. How that a song can communicate a truth. It is the Holy Spirit that ministers to our spirit just like a song inspires us. Your spirit is moved through music. And it's through music that you could get in the mood for dancing. Or music can make you happy. Music can make you sad. Music can make you lonely. Music can make you happy. Because it ministers to the spirit of a man. The Holy Spirit's trying to minister on the inside of you and move us closer to Christ. And he sings beautiful music. And he brings the love of God all the way from heaven into us. And oftentimes we'd rather listen to a secular song. I'll say this. There are some wonderful secular songs out there. But there are a lot of ones that shouldn't be listened to by Christians. Why is that? Because they feed our flesh. Be careful what you're putting in your ear, because faith comes by hearing. And if it's coming in that's not faith, which is a fruit of the Spirit, you're feeding the flesh. We got to walk in him. Psalms 1 says, blessed is a man that walks not in the, nor standeth in the way of, nor sitteth in the seat of the, but his delight is in the, and in his law shall he meditate day and night. And then what will happen to that man? He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. That's what the church needs. That's what I need. That's what you need. We need to be the fruit tree-bearing Christian as we abide in the vine, as we abide in Christ, and as that beautiful music of the Holy Spirit is leading us to understand that that love and joy and peace and all those fruits are available. When you start eating that, you lose your taste. You lose your taste for the things that feed the flesh. As you abide in Christ, you no longer want what Satan has for you. That's how you walk. You don't walk with people you don't like. You don't spend a lot of time with people who repulse you. You walk, you spend time with, you spend energy, maybe even support the people and the things that you know are good and healthy and godly. That's walking in them. Walking in love will bear the fruit of all other graces. Love is above all. He that loves is like unto God, who is the God of peace, joy, and love. A good man loves because of who he is. It's his spiritual nature. The Bible says in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, if the love of God is not in you, you are not of his. You're not of him. So you say, Pastor, I just don't love people very much. Well, then start eating of the fruit of the Spirit. Or, if you're not saved, you got to have to get saved to get God, because God is love. He'll bring that with you. He'll bring that in. Let me close by saying this. In verse 26, the Bible says there's such thing as vain glory. Vain glory. So there's glory that seems glorious on the outside, but it's really empty. Yeah. Living for things that don't matter leads to a fruitless life. living for things that do matter, you become fruitful. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Would you consider allowing God to make you more fruitful? How do I do that, Pastor? You've got to eat the fruit. If you want to be more fruitful, you've got to partake of that which the Holy Spirit brought with him when he came. And by the way, the great thing about the fruit tree of God, it restores its leaves every month. Did you know in heaven there's a tree that's called an eternal tree? Did you know that? And on that tree is all manner of fruit. One fruit tree, all the fruits, and the fruit never wears out. Isn't God good? Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Would you bow your heads, please? Now, our Heavenly Father, this teaching on the Holy Spirit, Lord, can bring beautiful fruit into the lives of every single Christian. But Lord, as the pastor, I actually am asking that as that happens, that the church itself bears fruit. That the work of so many yesterday, which I'm so proud of our church for their hard work yesterday to give the gospel to so many people. Lord, we were bearing the seed yesterday. We were planting the seed. We were getting out the good news. I pray, Heavenly Father, right now, that all of us will consider spending a little more time in the fruit orchard, spending a little bit more time with the Holy Spirit, so that we can have more of what the Spirit offers us. Now, in order to do that, we've got to leave the places where we were. We got to put off that flesh so that we can walk in the Spirit. So, Lord, as we pray and as we ask for forgiveness for the times and the moments and the days and the things that we do in the flesh, help us to taste the beautiful taste of the fruit of the Spirit. With your head bowed and eyes closed, if there's any here that pray for me, if I died today, I would not go to heaven. I do not know that I'm born again. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, but you'd raise a hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. God bless you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor James, I know without a shadow of a doubt that if I were to die, I'd wake up in heaven, but I don't know that I've been very fruitful. And I know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and I'm not always as sensitive. And oftentimes I turn away his conviction. And I have quenched the Holy Spirit, and I have grieved the Holy Spirit, and I'm asking God to forgive me and to help me to walk in his Spirit. Yep, that's me. Head bows, eyes closed, but you'd raise a hand. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. God bless you all over. Would you stand to your feet, please? What do we do?